Hey, what's up, everyone? It is Sunday night, November 18th, 2018. Welcome to your WWE Survivor Series pay-per-view recap. Now, normally, I am up here alone, but tonight, I'm joined along with...
Kev Castle, a rare Sunday home, watching live.
Yeah. So we're going to get right into it because I know you are exhausted. I am exhausted. Yeah. Got the Thanksgiving holiday week coming up. And by the way, for everyone who celebrates it, happy Thanksgiving. And speaking of Thanksgiving, the Survivor Series tradition. Around Thanksgiving of every year, we get Survivor Series, and it just finished not even 5 minutes ago. I don't know what you thought overall about this pay-per-view, but one thing stuck out in my mind throughout the entire event was that the Survivor Series matches themselves were not all that good. Tonight, it was all about the singles matches.
Yeah, I agree. Well, it's pretty much about singles matches. I mean, you know, I guess we'll break it down, you know, from start to finish and stuff. The obvious blockbuster, I guess you want to call it, that happened tonight, once again involving the women stealing the pay-per-view, you think, DT, again?
To some people, it's controversial. I know I posted a link tonight up on Twitter at Don Tony D, whoever did not tune into last DTKC show. And what I had said last week is something that I have felt about for a while. And Becky Lynch obviously enhanced it, but it really didn't matter who Ronda Rousey was going to face tonight. What happens a lot with WWE, it happened with John Cena, it happened most recently with Roman Reigns, is that fans do appreciate hard work. And Ronda Rousey obviously is working her ass off to become the best she could possibly be in the world of pro wrestling. And she has definitely improved a lot quicker than everybody expected. The problem is, though, is that fans subconsciously, for the most part, feel that WWE is set on this undefeated, unstoppable, dominant streak. And when you come across someone like Becky Lynch, who has worked her ass off her entire career, you know, to get where she's at now, and even Charlotte, she's busted her ass for years and years and years. Early on in the match, it felt kind of split. Fans were going to chant Becky because it was the fans' way of saying, Becky, we wish you were here. All right, but it's not Charlotte's fault that Becky's not in the match, and it really wasn't Ronda Rousey's fault either. But... Mm-hmm. Later on, when you see that Charlotte, for no reason, takes out the Singapore cane, whips Ronda Rousey with it, you get that subconscious feeling like, fuck, this is how WWE is going to keep Ronda Rousey's undefeated streak alive. Made no sense for Charlotte to get herself DQ'd. So when Charlotte, quote-unquote, snaps, it does two things here, and I don't know if people really realize this tonight. Number one, it really screws up the feud between Charlotte and Becky Lynch, because now with Charlotte as a clear-cut monster heel, we felt about Charlotte tonight like we felt about Becky 4 to 6 weeks ago. You know, just that attitude aspect of it. And now, because Charlotte did what she did tonight, and fans subconsciously are looking at, okay, Ronda Rousey, undefeated streak continues, blah, 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 the fans get a little bit irritated. And when Charlotte did the beatdown that she did, what happened at the very end? You deserve it. Thank you, Charlotte. I mean, that wasn't just a smattering of those chants. That was in unison. And Ronda Rousey, you know, she's doing what wrestlers do. They get up very slowly. I'm sure she really took a beat.
Yeah,
I mean,
she did.
You know what that remind me of? I don't know if old school fans will appreciate this. Oh. Bob Backlund, the Hartford step test, I think it was.
Yeah, of course.
Remember when Sergeant Slaughter, was it Slaughter or was it Billy Graham that whipped him? It was Slaughter.
I believe it was Slaughter.
Yeah, Slaughter whipped him. And he had all those bruises and marks on his body, and you could see it on Ronda. She took a beating tonight. But as she got up, for that sympathetic, I'm still the toughest son of a bitch around. I am, you know, you cannot break me. I'm going to get up. Don't touch me. It rubs fans the wrong way.
And she's, by the way, let's not forget, she's in her home state. She's a California girl.
Yeah, weird. So, you know, fans loved it tonight, but I think the feud with Charlotte versus Becky Lynch, really, there's a monkey wrench in it. Now, look, Becky will be out for a little bit of time because of the injury, but when Becky does come back, is she now going to be more of a clear-cut babyface, or does she move on to other people?
No, I think she's going to be a babyface, DT. I think it's the old Bret Hart, Steve Austin switcheroo without them being involved directly, Becky and Charlotte. Now, I don't know if Charlotte, Becky's going to – it's going to be interesting. Will they let Becky on TV? Can she do a page and interact even though she's not competing? Maybe approach Charlotte next week and say, thanks for doing that for me. And then maybe Charlotte's like, fuck you. I didn't do it for you. I did it for me. You think it could be something like that, DT, where no. Charlotte's like, I didn't do it for you?
I like it. The problem is that that has to lead with some lead to some physicality at the same time. I mean, what is Becky going to say? Okay, my bad, and walk out of the ring. You know, there's got to be some physical.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, oh, sure. Like, good job beating her down. She's like, I didn't do it for you.
Maybe you do that on Twitter.
Yeah, maybe do it on Twitter. Yeah, it seems like Becky's doing that a lot.
Yeah, and it almost feels like the promo that Charlotte should cut on SmackDown is the promo that Charlotte should have cut when they had that first match. And you remember when they had the first match and the fans really were chanting against Charlotte, and she should have came out on SmackDown and was against the fans, and then WWE just forced the opposite issue. And the more they forced the – and this is kind of what I was talking about last week and today. What's happening is you have the fans realizing, or maybe even subconsciously realizing, wow – we want Charlotte as the heel in this feud with Becky. So early on, when WWE would not go that route and insisted on Becky badmouthing the fans, made the fans speak even louder, we want Becky. So it was pretty good. I mean, it's, you know, you look at the pay-per-view overall, I thought for the most part it was a letdown. The last 45 minutes was the pay-per-view. In my opinion, Nakamura versus Seth Rollins was fun, but it felt like Aurora's SmackDown match. The lack of Dean Ambrose attacking Seth Rollins, it is just to the point of stupidity, in my opinion. Yeah. You don't want to do it at the Crown Jewel, fine. But why isn't Dean Ambrose attacking Seth Rollins during his matches? It's like, okay, they're going to have a pay-per-view match in a month. You know what I mean? It just feels like there's no heat there. It just, I don't know, man. This feud so far has been very disappointing. But, you know, another match that I guess we could talk about briefly, and then we'll get into the results in order, was the main event tonight, Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar. And, you know, I joked about it online because early in the match, Daniel Bryan was getting his ass kicked. And I saw a lot of people on Twitter feeling uncomfortable, you know, just this doesn't feel right, that they just end this match already. And I joked and I said, have no fear, the crotch shot soon will be here. And that's exactly what ended up happening. And it turned into a very competitive match. And in a perfect world, and I said this online also tonight as well, in a perfect world, you know, it would have been great for WWE to have Brock Lesnar tap out to Daniel Bryan as a big fuck you to UFC that, look, little Daniel Bryan made Brock Lesnar tap out. But we're not in a perfect world. Right. And Daniel Bryan ultimately lost. And I wouldn't be surprised if there is a little bit of, not creative control, but a little bit in Brock's contract that, you know, not saying that it's like Brett in his WWF days, but, you know, it's like, okay, I'm doing UFC. I'm agreeing to come back and work more dates, but you cannot do something to me that will belittle the aura or perception of me going into a UFC fight.
Right. No, I agree with you. I mean, to me tonight, it was obviously – I mean, if we're going to break down the matches, like match to match, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, if you want to start there, I mean, as far as if we're on the Daniel Bryan, Brock Lesnar thing right now, or you want to just go back and...
Well, you could talk a little bit about Daniel Bryan, Brock Lesnar, sure.
Well, you know, I knew that, you know, it was funny. People were saying, you know, Daniel, they're worried, concerned about the way Brock is vicious with those suplexes. Can Daniel Bryan take it? Obviously, they tested that right out of the box, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and Bryan obviously is a heel now, too. It's getting not confusing. I mean, obviously, we know he turned on AJ the other night. And I thought for a second he was going to beat Lesnar. I kind of knew that Lesnar was going to pull it off in the end. But it was an interesting summer. I mean, if we're going to do an overall analysis of the match, I thought it was a pretty good match. I mean, Daniel Bryan wound up pulling a good match out of Brock Lesnar.
I'll tell you what was awesome about it. For everybody that couldn't buy into Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar, a smaller guy against Brock Lesnar, now you got Daniel Bryan tonight, who was even smaller than Finn Balor, and the match was very believable.
Right.
Daniel Bryan did everything in storyline what a smaller guy should do. All right, you know, maybe, you know, you don't normally go with the crotch shot and all that, but he did a lot of things that you would have done if you were smaller like that to Brock Lesnar. And it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the match tremendously. I'm glad that it was competitive. There is no Brock Lesnar loses zero stock by having Daniel Bryan put in that much offense in a match. And I tell you, you know, Daniel Bryan, for, I don't know if you feel this way, it was wonderful to see him come back. We thought he was retired. We thought not only was he retired, but we worried about his health in the future with his brain and everything else.
Right.
So he returns. And we're ecstatic, and it's probably the feel-good story of, you know, the last 5-10 years, possibly. But then for the last bunch of months, it just felt like, all right, you know, he's here. All right, oh, this is cool. All right, whatever. And it was funny because you and I never reported it, and I made sure to rub it in the wounds of all those goofy people out there. But what did you read a week and a half ago? Every fucking website was reporting that WWE had no plans in the near future to push Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that's what I had heard, too. And we thought after he kind of balked at going to Saudi Arabia that he was going to be punished. Not only was he not punished, he was like 2 weeks later, he's the champion. I mean, so, I called that wrong. I wanted to almost go back and... I mean, I never really delete my tweets, but I was going to go back and say, God, those tweets.
Well, there's a difference because you just expressed an opinion, which is perfectly fine.
It was an opinion.
These people were reporting it as news.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. What you said was perfectly normal. It's fine. It's an opinion.
We also know what this company usually does when you refuse to do stuff.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. But even with him having the belt last week, it's like, okay, this is interesting. Heel turn. Some people, I think, forgot that Daniel Bryan used to be a heel in the WWE. But after watching that match tonight, it's like, okay, if WWE wants Daniel Bryan to still be a babyface, that, you know, just there's no quitting him, tonight was a perfect way to start that off, to relight that fire. I just don't know if WWE is going to continue to go that route.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen. There's, you know, it's not must-see, but Raw and SmackDown should be pretty interesting because there's obviously fallout. There's things you want to find out, answers to questions that kind of leave you hanging a little bit tonight about the direction of certain people. And Daniel Bryan's direction, I don't know where. I mean, obviously, he still remains a heel. Nothing changed because Brock beat him, but I want to see where this goes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I guess before we get into some match results and, you know, again, the Survivor Series matches themselves, you know, they just lacked a lot of oomph. You know what I mean? I don't know how you spell oomph, but it just lacked a lot of, you know, like special moments and things that we look back at yesteryear. And, you know, I was watching the other day when Diesel and Shawn Michaels split up and Big Show beating four competitors in 80 seconds. And,
yeah,
you know, you could go down the line. I mean, Screwjob, obviously, but, you know, that's out of the ordinary. But they're just... 5 years from now, you're going to go back to those Survivor Series type matches tonight. Nothing stands out at all. Nothing. You know, it just really didn't. But we definitely need to mention this before we get into the match results, because I know the match results, once we get into them, we're going to burn through them fast.
Okay.
For those that did not see the pay-per-view, Enzo Amore was in the building. Some people actually think that this was a work, that he might be back in the company. That is not the case whatsoever.
Right.
Never say never about him coming in the future, but today did not do him any favors, especially after what we're starting to learn tonight about a fan. Make a long story short, he got a ticket for the show. Don't know if he actually bought a front row or a ringside ticket, but he ended up near ringside.
Disguised.
Disguised a little bit, but he was on the camera side, and people took notice right away. There was photos of him trying to be incognito and all that. And during the tag team match tonight, he was pretty much at front row on the camera side, standing on the chair and basically trying to get attention to himself. The fans are chanting, "How you doing? How you doing?" One security guy with like a Mr. Perfect ponytail just like yanks him from the top of the chair and just pulls him away. And then Enzo immediately puts his hands up like, "Look, I'm not resisting. You know, you don't have to beat me up," and this and that. And they escort him out the building. If anybody watches that footage again, to me, whether somebody got hurt or didn't, there was no reason for that security guard to fucking yank him the way they did. I mean, sure, he's causing a scene standing on a chair, but he wasn't assaulting anyone. He wasn't trying to jump the rail. He wasn't trying to put his hands on a wrestler. This security guy yanked him. And when he yanked him and threw him forward, apparently a female fan, got pretty injured, you know, to the point
that... Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, either her shoulder or arm, and they actually took her out, I think, on a stretcher, you know. Wow. And, yeah, so she was injured as a result of what the security guard did by pulling down Enzo. Now, Enzo was in the California area. I think he was doing some stand-up. We think you might have brought it up last week.
He's got a concert coming up at the Whiskey Go-Go.
Yeah, so he did this to get some attention to himself. Yeah. I thought it was just ridiculously stupid on his part.
Yeah.
We defended him when he was being accused of rape and all this other shit. And, you know, the thing that bothered me about tonight, I had no problem with anybody on social media ripping this guy for doing what he did tonight. It was definitely stupid.
Yeah.
But people immediately calling him a rapist, calling him an assaulter. He was cleared of all of that. There was no proof whatsoever. There was an accusation. All right, yes, you know, we believe victims, the Me Too movement. We believe victims. We don't believe accusers. There's a big difference between accusing and being a victim. And yes, some people that do accuse don't have any proof, and they get fucked in the end, and it sucks. There are people who do accuse, and they lie in the end. But yeah. Enzo was cleared of all of that, and for people to go that route, it made me feel like, okay, and it wasn't just casual wrestling fans. These were websites and blogs though, and podcasters doing it tonight. And right. It made me feel like, okay, if you just call him a dick for doing what he did tonight on social media, he's not going to pay any attention to you because there's thousands of people doing that. But let me take the sexual predator route and rapist route, and maybe that'll catch his eye and my insult will get noticed. And that's what it felt like tonight with some people. I'm like, you know, there's a lot of fucking really insecure losers online that need social media like heroin. It's heroin to a drug addict. They need that attention. They need to be focused. And, you know, we're not going to get into wrestling news tonight. I know tomorrow you and Mish are going to be taken home because I'm going to arrange a game. Right. But, you know, there's someone else out there being accused of some stuff. And there's a lot to that story that has not been released. And, you know, I am not jumping the gun. But you see what's going on. It's like red meat with the social justice warriors. And I just thought that was really unfair to see people go that cheap route tonight. You know, you took a legitimate insult and totally ruined it by calling Enzo something that he wasn't. He's, look, he's an asshole to a lot of people, and I agree.
Right, but he's not a right. He's not a rapist.
He's not a rapist. All right, you may not like the fact that he could go on social media and say, "Hey, anybody in the in Sacramento tonight? You know, you just want to meet me in my hotel and blow me?" All right, you may be offended by that.
He's got an abrasive personality that may turn you off. Exactly. Right.
But it's not illegal behavior.
No.
So that was probably one of the biggest stories tonight that was floating around.
I mean, that was the footage I saw. You know, I saw a couple of different angles of it. I guess I got to go back and see with the woman being hurt. I'm sure there'll be photos of it. But I believe 100% in being in the concert business and stuff and actually getting into it with some artists who've done some little publicity bullshit that have annoyed clubs that I've worked with. So that was a publicity stunt to plug his Whiskey A Go-Go show. Without a shadow of a doubt, I'm sure he was outside the Staples Center handing out passes to people. That's probably what he was doing because it's about a hop, skip, and a jump away, the place that he's playing from Staples Center.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, well, let's get into the pay-per-view itself. The kickoff show was hosted by Jonathan Coachman, Jerry Lawler, Beth Phoenix, and David Otunga. Mm-hmm. I noticed a lot of people online were really talking about Beth Phoenix wearing the sideways cross, you know, the cross that's sideways, and people not understanding why she has that. Basically, the best way I could describe it, and look, she may be wearing it for the wrong reasons, but I actually know three people off the top of my head that actually do wear a necklace with the side cross. That is usually people that are Christian, very religious, and that represents when Jesus is, you know, when he's walking with the cross is sideways.
Yeah, yeah.
And that represents
us. Over the shoulder type of cross.
Right, thing. Over the shoulder, and we're continuing God's work. Like just being a Christian and a good person, this and that. I believe correct. That's why Beth was wearing it.
Yeah, I believe you're correct about that. Also, she seemed to be suffering from pink eye. When she turned her eyes, she had a big, it was clear that she had some sort of eye or conjunctivitis in one of her eyes that they were trying not to get. And when she turned a couple of times, you could see it. She had some sort of eye infection going on there in one of her eyes.
Yeah. Now, early on, we pretty much said this Monday. I think a lot of people knew this. Natty and Ruby Riott were going to go at it. And as a result, they were both eliminated from the team before it even started today. Now, anybody that was part of the Patreon predictions contest that chose either Ruby Riott or Natty to be the last person eliminated, that bonus point was 2 points. We're going to give you 1 point since, you know, they were both removed from the match. Usually if something changes or something is squashed or somebody doesn't compete, you get half your points. So you'll still get a point. But out with those two in the Survivor Series match, and in to replace them was Bayley and Sasha Banks.
Yeah, I was disappointed because I'm a big Ruby fan. I wanted to see her, and then they found a way to get her out. And I knew that it was too weird to not have two top girls like Bayley and Sasha. You know, say what you want about their pushes, deep pushes, but they're two top girls.
Yeah.
To have them off the Survivor Series was just too strange to me. Ruby obviously had to be a victim. Natty has had her day. She's a veteran. She's an elder statesman at this point. Ruby, I felt kind of sorry for, especially since Sonya Deville and Mandy got to be in it, and they're absolutely no better than Ruby is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We had a lot of backstage skits, segments, I guess you could call them, before the event started. I tell you, as much as we don't like Baron Corbin, I actually think that some of his mic work on the pre-show was the best he's ever done. As far as playing the role of, GM or whatever his role is on Raw, he really, the way he was talking about the members of Raw tonight and putting over Rousey and putting over, you know, the people, he had the right answers to all the questions asked. He didn't stutter. He did his role the right way, and I actually have to give him a little bit of credit tonight for that.
Yeah, he's a good antagonist, too. I mean, he's got that down to where he's getting under the skin as that antagonist GM. He's grown into the role. I don't hate him as much as I used to. And now I'm totally accustomed to him with that new look, too. So
yeah. Booker T also was part of the pre-show as well.
Yeah, he was funny.
Yeah, he was funny. The kickoff match before Survivor Series was Team SmackDown of the Usos, New Day, Cologne, Sanity, Gallows, and Anderson over Team Raw, which was Gable and Rude, The Ascension, Lucha House Party, Revival, and B-Team. Usos were the sole survivors.
Yeah, I wrote it on Twitter. I thought the Raw, that's the best team they could put on the field. They were reaching. Lucha House Party's not really part of that. I mean, they had to borrow from 205 Live pretty much. I just thought B-Team, Ascension, these are DT reminded me of 1987 Crockett Cup first round in the NWA where they had the Mulkey brothers and you know, the Ding Dongs. Yep. Remember?
Sure.
That's what it was. SmackDown teams far superior, DT. Yep. Far superior.
A lot of people were trying to cheer me up tonight, letting me know that Kalisto may, in fact, have been injured tonight. I saw my eyes. I saw him sitting around ringside, and, you know, he really wasn't active at all. And, you know, if it happened, it is what it is. Hey, you know, like I said last week, accidents happen.
True.
You know, and I will continue. And kudos to everybody online that picked up on it last week when I made that remark. It will always be sarcasm for the entire, I shouldn't say entire, 98% of the wrestling inner circle, family, whatever you want to call it, all defending Brie Bella's constant horrible work and with the excuse accidents happen. So yeah. Becky last week, accidents happen. Kalisto, yeah. Accidents happen. Anytime somebody screws up, and even if they just don't have the experience, sloppy, green, whatever, accidents happen. That's what I'm going to continue doing. Now, kudos for WWE tonight, in my opinion, for turning the whole situation with Nia Jax into probably a positive for Nia Jax, because if you watched her in-ring work tonight, they really focused on her size being very, very almost the aura of being stiff and just laying people out. She was the sole survivor tonight for Team Raw. Nia Jax, Tamina, Mickie James, Sasha, and Bayley defeat Asuka, Carmella, Naomi, Sonya Deville, and Mandy Rose. Asuka was the last woman on Team SmackDown. In my opinion, you know, look, it sucks what they did with Asuka the last 6-7 months, but the way they had Asuka get pinned with Nia doing all of those moves to her, just hitting her with all the power moves, it suspension of disbelief, it was the right way to do it.
I mean, my God, I mean, she's 3 times bigger than Asuka and dropping her weight on there, excuse me, with the leg drop and stuff. I mean, Asuka put on a good performance. Asuka was back in fine form tonight. No more dancing and being a silly, you know, comedy fodder. She was back to being serious tonight. She was the MVP of the SmackDown side and put on a very good performance.
Yep. Now, everyone, pay attention. The pre-show match had Team SmackDown winning the tag match. All right. For the Survivor Series pay-per-view itself, with Nia Jax being the sole survivor, Team Raw, as they called it, was up 1-0. All right, the kickoff match did not count for the pay-per-view. All right, and there's a reason why I'm saying that now. So right now, Raw is up 1-0. Next, you had Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke. Non-title match, Seth, the IC champ, Nakamura, the U.S. champ. Nakamura loses to Seth Rollins in 21 minutes. To me, I didn't realize the match was that long. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It felt like it was missing something, and I don't know if it necessarily was Dean Ambrose interfering. I know a lot of people will feel, you know what, it was a clean match with a clean finish, this and that, but I'm sorry, man. Shinsuke, yeah, there were no titles on the line, but Shinsuke's U.S. championship reign has been one of the most lackluster championship reigns in wrestling history. Nothing against Nakamura. He is a talent. But, my God, I just don't understand what WWE is doing with Nakamura.
No, I agree with you, DT. I'm totally in agreement with you. It's almost like he might as well not only not be the U.S. champion, but not be there. Just Some people are saying he's phoning it in at this point, buying his time till his contract runs out or goes back to New Japan. And people are even saying, you know, for New Japan, he's kind of getting in line. There's a lot of bigger stars than him over there. Mm-hmm. So then they're not exactly clamoring to take him back. But I don't know. He's the U.S. champion, and he might as well be the European champion back in 1998. Yeah. It doesn't have the cachet that you would think that it would have with a guy Nakamura holding it. It's almost like, blah, 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 DT. It's like nothing. It doesn't mean anything. I don't really, tonight, him and Seth Rollins, on paper it looks good. Did it transfer? I believe this was their first meeting tonight, DT, right?
Since they've been, been there, yeah.
It wasn't a bond burner that we thought. Two good talent. They match up well. But it doesn't make the top three matches. It's not one of the top matches tonight. It just was on the card.
They could have gone 45 minutes. It still felt that there was something missing.
Yeah.
And, it's a shame because, like you said, on paper, this looks like a match that could steal the show. And still something was missing from it. So now we have Raw up 2-0.
Yep.
Next, we have the tag match, the AOP, the Raw Tag Champs, defeating Sheamus and Cesaro, who are the SmackDown Tag Champs. Funny thing is that, I like the masks that AOP come out with, but if you have bad color on your TV and you're looking at it from far away, they look like two Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle masks.
They do. With those guys, I know they're a great team. I know they were dominant, and Paul Ellering had them. They were I'm not going to call them the next coming of the Road Warriors. That's not fair. No one's the next coming of the Road Warriors. They've tried that before. But I just find them to be kind of lumbering, stumbling guys. I don't. They're decent in the ring. They make a big point out of saying how big Rezar is. He's 6'7" and 325 pounds. We've had guys here that big before. Sheamus and Cesaro always having to do the job for everybody. I don't get it. They should be a top team that has a winning streak. But for some reason, it was more important for AOP to win this. And I hate DT, hate Drake Maverick as their manager.
Yeah, I don't like it. The problem with AOP is simple. They're not clicking with the fans.
No.
You have to have – if you're going to just go out there and just destroy people, you have to have some type of charisma, even if you don't cut promos. And you have to have charisma, and you also have to have a really unique look to yourselves.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I mean, these guys, and I hate to say it, just remind me of a really good indie tag team that you would see on the indies. They really work well. I mean, they're not sloppy in the ring. I will not take away their talent. But unfortunately, in this day and age, and for a long time now, this is World Wrestling Entertainment. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, they're just not entertaining. They are very talented, but they don't click with the fans. They're not entertaining. And Drew Maverick, he doesn't even come off as like Leo Rush, where you want to see Leo Rush just get the balls beat out of him.
Right, yeah.
Drake Maverick, you just don't give a shit. You almost feel that if you do beat the balls of Drake Maverick, you get arrested for beating up someone that small. Leo Rush, you feel like he deserves it. Drake Maverick, there's just nothing, coming off of him. He just is just, there's no, I don't know, there's something missing there. And hopefully they find it. They still have plenty of time to find it. But unfortunately with WWE, you see it with the Revival, you see it with the Ascension. I love with the announcers, saying, oh, the Ascension are on the cusp of it. And they've been saying that for years. It's just, there's something missing with AOP and with WWE. The shelf life is not as long as you think it is. If they don't start clicking with the fans and connecting, there's only so many times you could have them come out there and squash 150-pound guys.
It's true. They're not connecting with the fans. The Ascension didn't connect with the fans. There's a big problem with NXT teams. The Revival has no connection to the fans at all. They're just not clicking. I'm trying to think of a team that came up from NXT, DT, in the last 2 years who has clicked with the fans, who has connected, who has had success. It's just not working. I mean, it's not. I think you're, you know, anybody who would say, oh, they're, you know, WWE stifling. No, they're not entertaining. In NXT, they're in a small little thing, 200 people chanting their name, AOP, AOP. Now they're in the big time, and they got to impress the kids and the women and the families who are like, who are these guys? You know,
I like
and
sanity.
There's just nothing there.
I like sanity, yes. And sanity to me is higher on the food chain than AOP.
I agree, because at least, I mean, my God, at least Eric Young tries to be like almost like a Kevin Sullivan or a Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer, or like some kind of throwback to those crazy Bugsy McGraw kind of guys. These are names that some people listen to the show know, some might not. But these are guys who were good antagonist leaders and had that crazy look and had a good gimmick. They have a cool look, and The Purge is a popular movie, TV series. Why they don't capitalize on it, they make references to The Purge every now and then for sanity. But they're not connecting either. There's just a big connection problem, especially with the tag teams. People think it's with the single acts that come from NXT, the solo acts. But the tag teams, DT, I'm hard-pressed to name a goddamn team that has gotten over because New Day was created on the main roster. They didn't come from NXT.
Right.
You know, so name a team that came from NXT. Don't put pressure on. But I'm trying to think. I'm racking my brain. What team has come up here in 2 years that is over from NXT? I don't think there is one, DT.
Yeah. You have some singles guys that started pairing up and everything, but it's just, you know, NXT is a whole different animal, and AOP is just not clicking so far.
No, and also, DT, look at that competition. Like I said on my tweet, like, this is the team that Raw puts on the field. I mean, my God. I mean, the Ascension and B-Team, who desperately tries to get the audience to react to them, and just, I'm sure those guys in their mind are like, God, are we going to be here by the beginning of the new year? And, you know, the Revival, great team. If I hear one more time someone say, they're the new Arn and Tully. Big difference. Arn and Tully was successful. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Arn and Tully was successful individually and as a team. They're not the new Arn and Tully until they do something Arn and Tully-like.
Right.
So I don't even want to compare the new Revival anymore
to
the Brain Busters. It's ridiculous.
Can't compare them.
You can't.
Next match, Buddy Murphy. Right now Raw is up 3-0, by the way. Buddy Murphy retains the Cruiserweight title over Mustafa Ali. You know, we are very high on Mustafa Ali. It's nice to see him getting a lot of recognition now. It just, as you know, we talked about on Monday, it just did not feel that WWE was going to pull the plug on Buddy Murphy's title reign that quickly. And Mustafa Ali did, in fact, lose today. Match went a little over 12 minutes. Had an awesome spot where Ali was on top of the ropes. Buddy Murphy hit him with a knee to the head, and then he pushed him back first.
Right.
And the knee to the head was right at the end, but he pushed him back first, and he flew backwards and hit the barricade. And if you watch it again, if Ali would have launched 3 or 4 inches higher, the top of his shoulder would have buckled, almost like if you remember when Seth Rollins threw Finn out.
I was going to say that.
That is a – it. What people fans appreciate it, but if I wouldn't do that again. That looked like, you know, 2-3 inches one way or the other, and you got serious injury coming.
Yeah, a fantastic match. Both of them are tremendous talents. I love Buddy's finisher. It's a cool finisher, kind of a variation of a little twist and turn of what Elias does for his finisher. You know, it's a nice fan. And Mustafa Ali is, he's like the Indian version of Seth Rollins. I mean, he's got charisma. He's got a good physique. He's got confidence. He looks like the type of guy you want to get behind. I'm not, you know, he doesn't get a lot of talking time from what I've seen, but charming guy. I've seen him on like regular interviews, but not get a lot of TV talk time. But I think those two guys would be good on the main roster. I don't know how far they could go, but a tremendous talent. I felt bad that the audience wasn't loving it as much as I was.
Well, actually, I tell you, I'm looking at my notes, and I'll tell you why I disagree. Because I was going to say this before about Rollins and Nakamura, and I forgot. But here on my notes, I have it mentioned again. You know, Nakamura versus Rollins didn't even get a "This is awesome" chant. And I know fans will chant "This is awesome" for two moves. But the "This is awesome" chants, if you notice lately, are now being done far and few. That fans are really waiting until they really see something they feel is special to chant it. And I took note that, unless I'm wrong, but I watched the pay-per-view very closely tonight. Ali and Buddy Murphy, I think, was the first match to this point that got the "This is awesome" chant.
Towards the latter part of the match, the first 6-7 minutes, it was pretty library solid.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So next we had the men Raw versus SmackDown match. You had Braun Strowman, Drew McIntyre, and Bobby Lashley. They were the sole survivors. Team Raw defeats Team SmackDown. Team Raw consisted of McIntyre, Ziggler, Strowman, Finn Balor, and Bobby Lashley. Right. And SmackDown consisted of The Miz, Shane, Rey Mysterio, Samoa Joe, Jeff Hardy. You know, WWE in California, Samoa Joe, you know, regular in California, 15-year veteran, Samoa Joe gets pinned within a minute of the match. Not only did this piss me off that the fans are chanting "this is bullshit," right, but I don't know if you noticed it, but I noticed it right away. The minute Samoa Joe got pinned, he started rolling out of the ring.
Yeah, I did notice that, actually.
That's not good. That's not good. I mean, you look at what he took to lead up to that moment, and he rolled. As soon as the three count, he rolled. But it's interesting because if you watch, he rolled, and then he stopped. And it almost felt like he said to himself, "Oh, fuck, I rolled too quickly."
That's what I think.
He rolled, and it looked like he wasn't even affected by the three count. And I don't want anybody saying to me, "Oh, he was startled for a second." Watch it again. I didn't see anybody mentioning this online, but I spotted that immediately, and I was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, I agree. Samoa Joe just has been plagued with injuries the last couple of years, and I don't know if he's, you know, who knows, like tomorrow we'll read, Samoa Joe was working with a sore wrist, or he's got a lot of injuries. I wouldn't be surprised if something was wrong with him.
Yeah. You know, the rest of the match, it was what it was. Braun Strowman, for a period of time, was incapacitated because Shane had put him to a table. But Braun got his bearings back together, and he started eliminating people. And Shane McMahon was the sole survivor. And you thought, okay, maybe Shane will pin Lashley or McIntyre, and maybe one of the others will get DQ'd, and then Strowman will win. But no, I mean, Strowman pretty much hit 2-3 moves to Shane, and it was over. So Team Raw gets it, and now Team Raw is up 4-0.
Yep, jeez.
Yeah. Next was Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair. We already talked about that match. I tell you, forget about the ending, because the ending, Charlotte getting herself DQ'd, just was not good. I mean, it came out of nowhere. It made no sense. You know, I know the announcers tried to cover it up a little bit to justify it by saying, oh, Charlotte realized that there was no way she could beat Ronda Rousey. And I'm saying to myself, no, Charlotte in storyline should have took the Singapore cane right in the midst of getting her ass kicked from Ronda Rousey. But the way it was designed, Charlotte had the upper hand against Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey had a mouth busted open hard way, and Charlotte had a lot of offense. There was nothing suspension of disbelief that you would think in Charlotte's mind at that particular point she was going to lose. And just takes the Singapore cane and beats the fuck out of her. Now, the beatdown was awesome. And I'm sorry. I mean, I think a lot of people will agree with what I said about, you know, just looking at Charlotte and all the years she's worked her ass off to get where she's at. Becky's worked her ass off to get where she's at.
Sorry.
Ronda is working her ass off, but fans also feel that WWE is making Ronda Teflon. And sometimes when someone is getting the Teflon push, that does not rub fans the right way. When Daniel Bryan got that push many years ago, and the fans ate it up and loved it, because the fans felt like they were part of the reason why Daniel Bryan got that run. Ronda Rousey, it feels like WWE sees money. WWE sees a former MMA pioneer for women, absolutely. And I am a big fan of Ronda Rousey, and I am sold on Ronda Rousey. I like what she's doing. She has improved drastically from March. And WWE has enough faith in her now that she can work 20-minute matches, and she's showing it. But again, when you feel like she can do no wrong and she's Teflon, that subconsciously rubs fans the wrong way. And even after the beatdown, when she's standing there and she's, you know, rubs people the wrong way about, you know, don't touch me, I'm tough, I'm the baddest woman on the planet, I could you know, walk to the back. But when you have the camera shots on her close, and she legitimately was whipped. She's got marks everywhere. She took cane shots to her ear, to her chest, to her face, to her head, to her stomach, to her side. She's got marks and welts everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't care how much you miss Becky Lynch. I don't care how much you appreciate all the years she's done and all the years Charlotte has done. That woman tonight took a beating like a motherfucker. That we would probably cry after three Singapore cane shots. And I took a Singapore cane shot from Sandman on an indie show. And that shit burns. You know, so you look at, count how many times, yeah, when I did an indie show, I was managing Grim Reaper. I think it was Homicide as well. And it was an indie show for Mr. Big. And what happened was Sandman actually allowed me to do a shot. And this is exactly the storyline. I kid you not. I know it's going to piss people the wrong way, piss people off. It was not racist in any way. Trust me, fans that still listen to my show that were there live loved it. We were in Spanish Harlem. And we went to a bodega. It was me, Reefer, Jay Lover, I think it's someone else. We went to a bodega. We were looking to buy some things, you know, to use like during the matches. So I looked and I saw a bottle of air freshener. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take this bottle of air freshener. And I, you know, Sandman, I swear to you, on a stack of Bibles, and I'll tell this is an impromptu story. Right. The one thing that Sandman does not get enough credit for, and I know some people out there will vouch for me on this, is that when he was doing indie shows, well, when I was doing it 10 years ago, he actually would be in the back locker room trying to give so much advice for young up-and-coming people, no matter if they were stars or just green or newcomers. He was standing there talking and talking and talking and talking. So he wanted me to do something because I was doing a managing thing. So I saw the air freshener, and when we came out for the match, I took the air freshener and I started spraying it in the air in the front rows, and everybody in the first two rows are from Spanish Harlem. So I'm not going to say what ethnic groups they were, but I was trying to insinuate that they all smelled, and they were pissed off like a motherfucker. I'm spraying air freshener, you know.
So like you're doing like Precious used to use for Jimmy Garvin.
Right, but I'm in the middle of Spanish Harlem, and I'm an Italian greaseball wearing a John Gotti shirt. So I look like I'm from Howard Beach. And think about it. Howard Beach, Spanish Harlem, it's not a good mix. So later on in the match, Sandman is incapacitated in the corner. And what I was supposed to do was I was supposed to spray the air freshener in his eyes. And when I went to spray it, nothing came out. And I'm over-exaggerating with my thumb, and I'm pushing down and pushing down. I'm not really pushing down on the button. I'm pushing on the side of it. But it looks like I'm pushing down, and nothing is coming out of it. And I'm shaking it and shaking it. And then I, like a bad fucking cartoon, I'm shaking it, and I go to look to see why it's not spraying, and it sprays all in my eyes. And as I'm blinded, Sandman hits me with a cane shot. And it fucking burned like a motherfucker. And I tried to run out of the ring. He hit me again. I crawled under the ring, and I stood under the ring for the rest of the match. I've been begging Mr. Big to give me the footage of it because, honestly, I thought that whole thing with spraying the air freshener and the fans literally wanting to beat the shit out. And after the event was over, everybody was cool. Fans were cool. Everybody was cool. They knew it was just part of the show. But you know, just look at how many Singapore cane shots, and I'm not trying to compare myself to Ronda Rousey, please. I'm just telling the story for the fans of our show that listen to what we do that might get a kick out of it. Yeah, but you see all the cane shots. You have to show respect for that.
It reminds me, DT, with Tommy Dreamer getting caned by Sandman that time with Woman there with Thank You, Sir, May I Have Another. It wasn't that extreme, but that Tommy Dreamer talks about on an interview like how much that was the most painful thing he ever got was those cane shots by Sandman that time with the when he blinded him and he came back with Woman. Remember that? And
yeah, caned sure. Mikey took the cane shots too.
Yeah. So, I mean, Ronda, I don't think Charlotte went in that hard on her, but it hurts.
It definitely hurts. And again, you know, if you see the way Ronda was trying to cover herself for the shots, she took one in the ear.
She did.
You know, and I tell you, when they did the close-up on her ear, you know what it reminded me of?
What?
Starrcade 83, when Roddy Piper was in that chain match against Greg Valentine with the ear.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ronda's a tribute to Rowdy, and that reminisced me of 83 with Piper.
Could be, yeah. That's very good.
Yeah, so Ronda Rousey defeats Charlotte by DQ. Mm-hmm. So now we have Raw up 5-0.
Unbelievable.
So then we got the main event, and we already talked about it for quite some time. Brock Lesnar defeats Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan, the WWE champion, and Brock Lesnar, the Universal champion. And with that win, this is how they're playing it off in storyline, that WWE swept SmackDown tonight. Even though SmackDown won the kickoff match,
they didn't count that.
So Raw defeats SmackDown tonight 6-0.
What will be the repercussions from Shane and Paige on Tuesday? That's why, again, they left you where you do want to watch Raw tomorrow night. Tune in. You do want to have SmackDown. You got to see what Charlotte going to say. Is Becky going to be on? Are they, you know, and tomorrow night, you know, Baron Corbin cheap shot at Braun at the end of the match. And what'd you think of Lashley's performance, DT, by the way, in the match tonight? He got in a lot of offense.
He's impressive. I remember when he first came back, I said I was indifferent about his return, yeah, and I was accused of being racist. Lashley, it's ridiculous when you look back on that. I'm not indifferent about Lashley anymore. I mean, look, it was obvious that he improved by leaps and bounds while he was in TNA. He was good in WWE when he first left, but when he went to TNA, he showed that he could be heavyweight champion. I know a lot of people wanted to see Brock versus Lashley. I don't know if that will ever happen. Maybe
I don't think so.
Maybe it'll happen on a house show.
Maybe.
You know, once in a while you get this beast in the East, or you get a special house show and Lesnar is a special attraction. One time he fought Bray Wyatt. Another time I think he fought Kofi Kingston. You know what I mean? So I could see a random house show being Lesnar versus Lashley. But will it headline a pay-per-view? I don't think so.
No, I doubt it. DT, what about certain top guys not being involved tonight? Elias, Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, of course, is missing in action. It's a little odd that you think that Elias and Randy couldn't be part of this tonight.
Randy, you know, he's been in a lot of events. Yes, he's not featured in Survivor Series, and yes, they should have fit him somewhere.
Yeah.
But Elias, I tell you, the event went off the air at like 10:34. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why he couldn't do an Elias segment for 10 minutes or 5 minutes. Why not do an Elias segment right after the Ronda Rousey match?
Yeah. I like two guys who were pretty high spotlighted on both their shows. Randy's a big part of SmackDown. Elias a big part of Raw. Both guys are over. I don't get it. I don't know why they were left off tonight. They found a way to get Sasha and Bayley in.
You know, we talked about this before they ended the split brand pay-per-views. Yeah. That, you know, I remember us clearly saying this to everyone. Be prepared that now when you have both brands on all the pay-per-views, there are going to be quite a lot of people that are going to be left off of these things. They're rotating. All right, yeah. Randy Orton's on the last pay-per-view, he's not on this one. Somebody was on this pay-per-view, they're not going to be on the next one. You know, you look at the women's, that's why the women will have another pay-per-view, and they will have one soon. I don't know if it'll be just one a year, but the women will have another pay-per-view. And to be honest with you, I know Evolution, for some people, did not have enough, and it's good to see that the bell is gone again. I mean, that's a wonderful thing, but, you know, you look at what has happened with, you know, look, you can't say women's wrestling because really when you dissect it, it's Ronda Rousey, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the Nia Jax thing, I like that, you know, they can turn this into her being almost like a big show, like knocking people out and shit like that. Tamina, I feel bad for her. She does nothing. I mean, she comes out and she gets no reaction. And it's just, I know WWE realizes that, but she's such a big person in size, and she can work. She's not sloppy in the ring. She's not smooth, but she can move around in the ring, and you don't have many people of her size and have some ability like her. So they keep her around, and she is the daughter of Jimmy Snuka, God rest his soul. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but she gets very little reaction. And now her teaming up with Nia, now you almost feel like, okay, Nia should go back on her own. But to see Nia and Alexa Bliss, you know, next to each other, and after what happened to Sasha and Bayley on Raw last week in suspension of disbelief, to see Bayley say, you know, you beat us very bad last week on Raw. But you know what? Just so we could show that Raw is the more dominant team, okay, we'll be on your exactly. And I'm like, come on. It's like, it's fucking, wimps do that. Okay. Yes. But you look at women's wrestling in the last 2 months, and to me, it's been Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte. The other women, I don't know if they really stepped up at all. I mean, there is some momentum, but, you know, three people are not going to, like, the other women now have to step up and have their moments where we look back in the year and like, okay, you remember this, and this. Right now, you look back in the year, Nia Jax versus Ronda Rousey still stands out to me. The match tonight obviously stood out to me. Becky Lynch versus Charlotte has stood out to me. Other than that, and, you know, seeing Lita and Trish return for a little bit, the women's overall for this year has not been as good as it appears to be.
No, and also, if you think about it, the most excitement generated for Ronda, the Raw women champion on Raw, is women on SmackDown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those are our biggest adversaries now. People are going to be like, shit, I wish this could continue because now Charlotte's on SmackDown. I'm sure people are saying that tonight. It's like, oh, this sucks because unless they do some sort of crossover, you know, this one's on Raw tomorrow night. So if Ronda cuts a promo, Charlotte's not going to come out and vice versa on Tuesday.
Well, I'm going to leave everybody with this because we've gone just about an hour. And I think an hour is more than enough time to cover this. But
sure.
I'll leave everybody, and I know this kind of botches Epic Sports when he posts a recap on YouTube and stuff like that, and I purposely do this, you know, not to be a wise ass, but I could have said this during the Charlotte Rousey recap early that we had, but I'll leave everybody with this one to digest. Mm-hmm. When I said earlier that this puts a monkey wrench in the feud between Becky Lynch and Charlotte, Becky Lynch is going to be out for a little bit of time still. So when you think about her coming back, let's say towards the end of the year in full force, now you get to Royal Rumble time. And that leads into the road to WrestleMania. If you're going to have Charlotte as a heel, and I know what you were saying earlier that, you know, Becky says, oh, thank you for doing it for me, this and that. The reason why, in my opinion, this is what I would do. In my opinion, you have Charlotte and Becky Lynch now on the same page for whatever reason, and this starts planting the seeds of the Four Horsewomen versus the Four Horsewomen at WrestleMania.
I agree. You know, I tweeted this too. My main problem with the Ronda's Four Horsewomen is two of them have done nothing in wrestling whatsoever. The one who just got married to what's his name? The guy, Roderick Strong.
Yeah,
what's
I know you're talking about. I can't remember.
Marina Sharif. They haven't done anything. I mean, so what do we? I mean, at least when the Horsemen, Arn Anderson, Ole Anderson, Tully, Barry Windham, pedigrees. You have two people who haven't rookies, not even in their first year. It's a big Horsewomen thing.
WrestleMania is 5 months away still. All they have to do is focus on just a little bit of work in one particular match. If you remember when Ronda Rousey had her WrestleMania match, what did we say? For 3 or 4 months, she had no matches. Right. And all she was doing was training and focusing on what she was going to do in certain spots against Stephanie and Triple H. Uh-huh. You could do the same thing with the other two members of the Four Horsewomen. They know their role. They know that they're only going to interact with Bayley and Sasha, let's say.
Right, right, right.
And they only need to do a hip toss or a submission move or this or that or this. And when you practice for just one match for 5 months, they could pull it off easily.
Oh, no, I'm sure they can. But, you know, when I always think of the Horsemen or Faction, they have some establishment to them.
If Snooki could pull it off and other people in the past and Lawrence Taylor and others could pull it off, there's no reason why these two women can't pull it off. And when you really think about tonight, Charlotte, for no reason at all, beating the motherfucker out of Ronda Rousey,
I would go
with the Four Horsemen storyline, Four Horsewomen storyline, than anything else. Not just for Becky, maybe for, you know, WWE, the women, you know, the Four Horsewomen, this and that. I would go with the Four Horsewomen more than anything. Plant that seed, get the four on four for Mania. That's what I would do. That really should be. I don't want to hear that she just turns on the fans on SmackDown, that you've been booing me and booing me and booing me, because tonight that wasn't the case. And I want to see the seeds planted for Four Horsewomen versus Four Horsewomen. That would make more sense for me for her promo on SmackDown. We'll see.
Okay. Yeah, that's not bad. That's cool. Yeah. I agree.
Any final thoughts before we call it?
Decent Survivor Series. Didn't hate it. I mean, I'm glad I watched it. You know, glad to have done the recap live with you tonight. But yeah, I thought it was, you know, we do the numbers sometimes. I'll give it a 7.
Yeah, I'll give it a 7. I mean, you know, to go from going from a 7 to 8, you have to do a lot. You know what I'm saying? So I think a 7 is respectful. I mean, the singles matches to me were all good.
Yeah.
I mean, could you really honestly say that any singles match tonight was not good?
No, and I was invested in it. I got out of my seat a few times, especially for Ronda, Charlotte. I got out, and even Daniel Bryan, when he came back on offense on Brock, I got up out of his. Like I said, I'm a 50-year-old man, but I'm a 15-year-old at heart sometimes. So I get into it. I get into it, and it, like, you know, I don't sit there, angry at the product and mad, and I'm not going to put it over. I still have the same youthful exuberance when I see something exciting.
Yeah,
you know,
and you know what? That's the right attitude to have.
Yeah, and that's why I still love it.
All right, Kev, I will, I'm going to my Ranger game tomorrow, but I will be back in time to record you and Mish. And everyone, thank you very much for listening as always. And, you know, follow me on Twitter at DonTonyD. Follow Kev on Twitter, KevZCastle. Mm-hmm. DonTony.com. We have a Reddit now. It's Reddit / DTKC show. Same thing with Facebook, DTKC show. And as always, if you like what we do, want to help keep these shows free, keep the lights on, the bills paid, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/DonTony. And we didn't even make the announcement yet on the DTKC show. So much has been going on, and I didn't realize. Yeah. We only plugged it on Twitter, and we only plugged it on Patreon. But we'll make the huge official announcement, not this week, but next week when I return to the DTKC show. Very soon, the DonTony and Kevin Castle show, Breakfast with Blasi, and This Week in Wrestling History are going to invade Pandora. Pandora has picked us up. We are the only wrestling show, as of right now, but at the only wrestling show that they are offering on their new platform for podcast. Well, I'll tell the whole story in about 8 days from now. But it is a huge fucking thing. Yes, that was the announcement that I've been teasing for December. But, you know, to look at all of the wrestling shows out there, and I explained on Patreon how this all came about. Originally, they wanted me to do a political show, and I couldn't commit to it, this and that, and it led to all of this. But when you realize all the wrestling shows out there, and out of everybody, Pandora said, "You guys, we wanted you to be the first one."
Awesome.
That is fucking awesome. And for the record, I did not pursue Pandora. Pandora pursued us.
Nice. Even better.
So, all right, Kev, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes.
All right. Catch take it easy, my friend.
Peace.
Later. Everyone, I hope you enjoyed this recap of Survivor Series. Please, as always, tell us what you thought about the pay-per-view. Let us know what you think about our storyline ideas and our feelings on some of what went down. Again, follow me on Twitter at DonTonyD. The website, DonTony.com. Email me, DonTony at DonTony.com. Facebook.com/DTKC show. And just a couple of quick announcements. I will be on vacation from Wednesday night until Sunday. I'm going away with my family for Thanksgiving. However, for our patrons, This Week in Wrestling History, next week's edition, episode 47, will be online, regular schedule as always. I'm actually going to be recording it this Tuesday, and I'm going to have it saved online to be released on Saturday for everyone. Really, nothing is going to affect all the shows that we do. But if you are part of our Patreon this Wednesday, we're doing a very special rapid fire Ask Us Anything episode. It's going to feature yours truly, Kev Castle, and Mish. So we are recording that Wednesday afternoon, and it will be on Patreon for everybody Wednesday night. So everyone be well, and we will talk to you soon.